Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
All right, you guys ready? You guys ready? Here we go. What you say? I'm the only one singing.
Oh, my bad. I had to boost it up.
Make me feel this way. My girl. And Perrin Johnson, who joins us in the studio right now. What up, PJ?
What's going on?
Kind of look like a sticky bandit right now. I like the toboggan going on,
man. You know, it's cold out here, man.
It is chilly.
It is.
I put a sweater on my dog this morning.
It was a 60-degree weekend all weekend, and football was on all weekend. I was loving life. I had a bonfire in the backyard.
Now
I'm like, damn, I got to pull out the overcoat. Got to pull out the thermals.
Now it looks like he's about to hop into Duncan's Toy Store or something with that, baby.
You can tell right now you're an L.A. boy.
Man,
A little bit. The Cali in you is strong.
Let's be honest.
Right now.
I would take a Home Alone check right now.
No kid, right?
Also fair.
You know, every January you get that check after Christmas.
Royalties coming in right now. You know, yes. Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, boy Marv, Daniel Stern, I want to say.
If that's correct, that's a good pull out of you.
Macaulay Culkin made so much money off of Home Alone, he didn't care about doing anything else. Think about that.
It is Daniel Stern. Shout out to me. That's
well
me.
Well done. Out of you. Do you remember the recorder thing he had? And that was like the big
toy. And everybody had to go buy one of those.
No, I've told you the story before. And great job by Andrew Adelson coming on, or by you getting Andrew Adelson to come on. Text line, really like that interview. Phil Baker, Perrin Johnson,
that
Nikki
was a great
V.
Interview, by the
yeah,
way.
She's the best.
She's really good. But I told you I won like this thing at the Westport Road Target. It was when the Home Alone VHSs were coming out. Home Alone 1 or 2, I can't remember. They did these Polaroid things of, it's kind of creepy when you think about it, but lookalikes with Macaulay Culkin. So I had blonde hair, so I'm around 4 at the time, and you had to do the Kevin, when you put the aftershave on. I won that, and I have a VHS. I'll try to bring it in if anyone has a VHS thing where it has like the tracking thing going along, like the good portion of the movie indicating that this is not for resale because you won this as a contest, and it just like ruined the entire movie. So this is like tracker comes up every 5 minutes or so that I won this because I won this Polaroid contest of the Kevin lookalike. So
you
little,
were wow, I.
Bleach blonde hair. Yeah, your boy. I'll have to show you a picture of it.
Please. I will pay good money
for you to
bring that to the holiday party, if you will. That's fantastic.
I'll try to pull it up. I think my parents have that. But yes, that's...
Yeah, the holiday party's in January.
Yeah,
right?
that's how we operate here. Yeah, everyone's got a busy schedule. We know how it is.
50-50 chances before.
When everyone's doing like a sober January or something. So it's a real riveting party.
That sounds stupid. No, I'm playing.
All right. Eric Crawford set to join us here in a bit. We'll do a deep dive on all these board of trustees, closed door meetings. We'll talk about his article came out on Friday.
Yes.
After the news started circulating with Satterfield was being retained, Eric Crawford was the first one to have that.
Right.
So we will do a deep dive into that. So Perrin, I heard you and Drew talk about it a little bit yesterday. Nick, feel free to chime in. I'm so tired of the Board of Trustees stuff, but it goes back to the transparency of the fans wanting to be mad at somebody, not knowing who to be mad at. I heard you and Drew talk about it, new audience here on the V Show, but just what do you make of Vince potentially going to Florida State, this perceived rift between, I don't even know if it's Neely at this point, if it's at these other Board of Trustees members, but that's the narrative that has been created. Just what do you make of it all, and like, what do you think the outcome of everything's going to be?
This is a three-sided thing for me. So the first thing is, you want me to talk about the fans first? You want me to talk about Neely's side? You want me to talk about Vince's side?
Wherever you want to start.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys pick one.
Start with Neely. Yeah, that was the second one in the middle.
Talking to people that have spoken to Neely, or just talking to people that are on that side of the fence, I was told that she was ready to move on from Satterfield. That's what I was told.
Okay.
Now, you know, you say to yourself, like, you're scratching your head and all those things. Because, one, and that makes sense for me, because, one, we're not winning, right? next year you're probably going to get $3.1 million back because you won't have Bobby Petrino on the payroll no more because you're still paying him his money.
I believe that wrapped up according to Innocent Blankenbaker maybe last month though. Yeah, but yes, it's done.
So now that money's paid off. So you can take that money, and talking to Blank and talking to Innes, you can take that money and you can get better football coaches at your disposal because I don't think Louisville's going to do any adjusting to the roster from a coaching standpoint until after the bowl game. So, and by the way, since Manny Diaz is fired, if we do make a move at DC, wouldn't mind calling him. Just saying. But anyway,
that's a good point. That's just
me living in a fantasy, thinking out loud. But that's what I've heard. I was told that. I'm just trying to make it make sense because if you're a fan like a lot of people are. None of this makes sense because you don't know what's going on and you hear scuttlebutt.
You don't know who to be mad at. That's where it goes back. Yeah,
right.
I was told that she wanted to get rid of Sat. Vince wanted to keep Sat, which is why Vince allegedly wants to go to Florida State. Now, on the other side of that, I was told that Vince wanted to get rid of Sat, and she wants to keep Sat because we're financially kind of capped. Even though we get that $3.1 million back, and because Vince is not allowed to quote unquote do his job, he's out of here going to Florida State. That's also that.
That's the narrative that I think most people have latched on to. I think that's something that people, right, wrong, or indifferent, whether it's true or not. And I think, quite frankly, some of it to a certain extent, unfairly, Neely Bindaputi put something out there. Like, she put something out there indicating, now you could get into the word salad component of it, of how she phrased it and everything from a PR standpoint, but she at least put something out there. Vince, I understand, prior to talking with Eric on Friday, Eric Crawford, that was the last time you've heard of Vince, and you haven't heard Vince's side of it. So I think Steve alluded to this on Middays with Marcus Maben. And Maven alluded to this. They put something out there from her camp. So you can be upset at her, but she at least put something out there.
So now for me, and now the most frustrating side of this is, if you're a fan, is this. You don't really know what's going on because a lot of this isn't being put out there. And then as a fan, you have to sit back and watch Louisville be what it is. You have to sit back and watch the football program be what it is right now. You're not winning to the level that you think you should win at, one. Two, everybody else that's had some type of controversy at their institution is winning, and you're not. Michigan State, top 10 football program. All that crap that went on with the gymnastics team and all that, top 10 football program. Baylor, all the stuff that went on there. They just won the Big 12 championship.
That's a good point.
So when you look at all these other schools that have had nonsense go on within their athletic department, campus, whatever, obviously the from Dr. Ramsey to Rick Pitino to the FBI to the Katina Powell stuff into now.
Hell, even Kansas football got a win.
Yeah. So you say to yourself, and then you see all these other programs that not only are they not getting to the trouble to the degree you are, but they're winning. Like, they're winning, and then Louisville fans aren't getting – they're just due on the court and the results of buying season tickets and supporting my team. All I can do is support my team. I can't pick a – Louisville fans don't get to pick the coach. Louisville fans don't get to pick the athletic director. They don't get to pick the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. We can go through all that jazz. I think the most frustrating thing and why you see people so loud on Twitter – is because,
and that's not real life, but I think it's a measuring stick
to a degree.
Right. 100%. Yes, right.
But so, and the reason why I understand people's frustration is, damn, I can't pick anybody, and y'all keep picking the wrong damn people.
And the results are not
matching up with the picks that you guys are picking.
But on the other side of that coin, Vince is being sought after to Florida State, too. So people, and that's where I think when you fly too close to the sun here, sometimes you forget. And I, regardless of what you think about Vince Tyrick, like, I think he's done a fine job. I don't think he's done a great job. I don't think he's done a terrible job. I think he's done a fine job raising money during a pandemic, making tough decisions. I know the other people, Drew talked about this yesterday, probably don't agree with that, with the 45 people that were laid off from the athletic administration.
Yeah, some of those are friends of mine, and I understand, like, their frustration, but also people forget Vince is not an AD. He is a businessman first. His job is to make profit. So when he looks at things, he doesn't look at people. He looks at numbers. And if the numbers don't make sense, he has to, quote unquote, what you might call trim the fat. And he did that. And there are a lot of people that were here for a while, and those are my friends, and I wish they were still here because they were great people. But on the other side of that, I understand why he did it. People forget that Vince Tyree was being considered at one point for ACC commissioner. his respect is a lot higher than a lot of people here realize. Well, I don't think people really, really realize that. People, Vince has a great deal of respect from a business aptitude standpoint. Like, he really, his acumen is like really appreciated all over the conference.
Did you see the college football? And I don't disagree with that, because that's a good point that I feel like, you know, has definitely been kind of forgotten with the current discussion. But college football home, did you see that tweet that they put out earlier today? And they have a decent...
Oh, about, I think Rummage retweeted it, talking about it was like from a fiscal standpoint.
Right. If Florida State, this is what it says. If Florida State hires current Louisville athletic director Vince Tyree, they are not committed to bringing football back to what it once was. They just want to financially stay above water.
Which Andrew pointed out, I had no idea they were in that much of disarray down there. I figured it was Florida State, and it just kind of snowballed from the success that they had in the past. But the parents' point, talking about the administration and making difficult decisions from a business standpoint, and you laid out two sources that could potentially be that could be the reasoning behind why they made these moves or didn't make these moves. I find it fascinating because, I mean, Vince Tyree, like, he is trying to figure out and navigate with this cloud, and I think it gets stapled together. I think there's some truth to that, to figure out how to make the best of what they have. And let's be honest, when you're laying 45 people off and you do a $15 million buyout to Bobby Petrino, who knows what you settled with Tom Jurich. I know Rick Pitino stopped away from it. Everybody talks about it, and I have no idea. I've seen it on Twitter. Fiscally, does the university have money from that standpoint? And Satterfield, I equate it to seized get degrees, right? Get degrees. He's not bad enough to fail. He's not great enough to move on to honors or advanced. He's there in the middle. And that's not warranted enough, and maybe the eyes of the athletic director or the president, to fire him because of that. You saw what happened with Manny Diaz. He was like 21-15, but it wasn't a good fit for that. So that's the conundrum that I keep going back to, of how they approach moving forward. And maybe Satterfield just didn't do enough, or in the eyes did enough to continue what he's been doing here.
Yeah, I guess my biggest thing is that I just want to see how this is going to be resolved. You know, at the beginning of the year, everybody gave me a ton of hell because I said, I don't know if I'm buying what Scott Satterfield is selling. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what's the excitement? What are we getting excited about? Is Malik going to be better? All these other things. We were told the offensive line was going to be better. It was better at times.
Yeah, they got some all ACC guys.
Yeah, it was better at times.
Caleb Chandler, yeah.
Was it consistent to a degree? Not as much as people might have liked, but it got better. So now the question is, as you approach next season and the marketing department, God bless you folks, how do they sell this? Because they're put in a very difficult situation. To how do I convince people to come into this football stadium to support these kids who have nothing to do with the hiring and firing of anything,
right?
And to see a better product. I know you want to see winning. I know you want to see things differently, and that's why the fans are so frustrated. But at the same time, like, from Vince being a businessman, I think keeping, I don't know why we would keep Satterfield, because at the end of the day, maybe we don't win a lot of games and you bring in Jeff Brohm or Gene Chizik, whoever the hell you want to bring in. I don't care. But a new coach will bring in more people to the stadium. Plus, if you're Vince Tyree, you've already been told no by Jeff Brohm once. You can't get told no twice. So the question is, do you put yourself in a situation when you call Jeff Brohm to bring him home, even though we know that he wants to come home through sources, some say. Mm-hmm. Do you put yourself out there to get told no again? Have you ever asked a girl out twice that told you no?
You don't know our dating resumes in high school, but you know
what? No, Keith Pointer helped me with a restraining order. I'm kidding.
Well, let's do a deep dive in this with Eric Crawford, because he's been all over this. He's been out at Board of Trustees meetings. He's done great work dating back to Friday. Eric Crawford of WDRB joins the V Show. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valmento, and Phil Baker. Eric, how are you?
I'm good, I think. I haven't checked with my sources, but I think I'm good.
I think everyone has it. Well, I guess let's start with what you put out there on Friday. I know that was kind of the news of notes of Satterfield being retained, and I guess just talk about the timeline between then and then what you started hearing about Vince Tyree and Florida State.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I usually do Bob's show on Wednesday. And we spent, you know, 3 or 4 minutes on Vince and what his future was at UofL, and I kind of talked about how I didn't think it was a very, very long future. But I had no idea, really. I didn't know about Florida State. And for them to meet on Friday and him to come out, and, you know, it was not a case of I had a decision to make. It was just a case of, yeah, he gave me some plans. There's going to be some changes on the staff. There's going to be some enhancement to the staff. He said, we're ready to invest in some enhancements in support staff and coaching. He's, you know, talked about Satterfield's philosophy. He's going to get into the transfer portal, but he's very insistent that they need to keep on their course with, you know, high school kids and just develop them, because, you know, he's really not a guy that thinks that Louisville's going to get 4- and 5-star kids maybe here and there, but they're going to be built on 3-star kids, and they always have been because of where the program is right now. You're just not going to shoot for the moon and make it. So they've got to develop. That's a time-consuming process, and that's what that was. And that was our conversation, that it was going to be, you know, Satterfield was the guy, and he believed in him. The players believe in him, and he's moving forward. So then to turn around, what was it, less than 2 hours later, to see Pete Thamel reporting that he'd become a candidate at Florida State. I don't know what happened. You know, it had to be something before. That had to be in the works before he talked to me. So that's interesting. And it cast him, you know, making that call about Satterfield in a new light. It's certainly, but it's consistent with this thing that nobody that I talked to at the University of Louisville has expressed any real desire to get rid of Scott Satterfield. There's just no push for it from within the university, from within administration, from inside athletic administration. It's all coming from fans, from, you know, pundits, whoever. It's all coming from the outside. I'm not hearing any of that from the inside.
225. Jack, cut that soundbite, because I feel like that might get...
That is not an easily used one on, like, the update or whatever.
Yeah, I might have to try to work that somehow into a Sports Center. We'll see. He is Eric Crawford, at Eric Crawford. Smush, as we call him around these parts. He's a regular and a friend of the V Show. Phil Baker, Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano filling in for Bobby V. Another friend of the V Show and a regular, Tim Sullivan, tweeted about that U of L's closing board meetings on personnel matters violates Kentucky's open meetings law. You retweeted that he makes a good point. Your thoughts on that? And Phil made a good point earlier in the show. For a university that has kind of struggled with transparency in the past, seems like we're kind of deviating from that and regressing a little bit. What's this do for the fan base, again, not knowing what the hell's going on?
Well, the fan base usually doesn't care. The fan base is usually, you'll note, cheering for the university in this situation and telling them to tell the media where to get off. It's only when something like this is going on to take care about open records and transparency. The fact is that if U of L is somehow discussing litigation regarding one of its employees or whatever, then it can go into an executive session, which is the closed session. And we don't know that they're not discussing that. Tim's point, particularly this morning, that they're not talking about hiring somebody or firing somebody or doing a new contract. They're just talking about scenarios with a current employee or maybe multiple current employees, that may not fall under open records law, and it might not. But we don't know. Not knowing what was discussed, you know, we don't know. And the university has a pretty wide leeway on that, and there have been issues with both U of L and UK before. The courts have found against them on some open records issues, but there's no real, you know, penalty. They don't go to open records jail or anything like that. So he makes a good point. It's one I think it's worth, you know, standing up there and kind of echoing, but nothing I don't think comes of it much in the end.
Eric Crawford. Give him a follow on Twitter at Eric Crawford. Nick Valvano, Perrin Johnson, Phil Baker filling in for Bobby V. You put out a tweet Sunday night around 10 o'clock that I think a lot of fans were concerned about. I know not everyone is on Twitter, so I will read it. Overview at Louisville upheaval continues. Fans disengaging from football, 80 perhaps departing. NCAA circling and sources saying university is intent on handling it with minimal athletic input. And Chris Mack's future is very much in doubt if the NCAA returns level 2 sanctions. I just kind of expound on that and just what fans should think from everything you laid out there.
Well, that it's not over. Whether Vince Tyree stays or doesn't stay, this kind of upheaval, there's still going to be more of it. And one thought about why Tyree might be looking to leave is that, frankly, if the fans are unhappy with you anyway, why stay? Why attach yourself to more upheaval that's coming when the NCAA brings down its ruling, when administration perhaps steps in again to look to sanction your basketball coach when you don't think that's the best thing for the program? Why stay and be around for all that? And that's I don't know that that's his thinking. I haven't talked to him about his future or what he wants to do with U of L or whether he even wants to be an athletic director long term. But that, to me, if I'm him and I want to stay in this business and give it a go, that would explain why you might take a lateral move to a school somewhere else that has its own issues, but you're not going to stay here and have the NCAA rain down on you and have administrators making calls that you might not necessarily agree with completely. So that, to me, gives some insight into what we're looking at, that we're not at the end. This is not going to be the end, whatever happens with Vince Tyree, of some of this dysfunction that we're seeing.
He is Eric Crawford of WDRB. Eric, we mentioned it. I mean, a shameless plug to a show we used to do, The Producers. Back when, about 6 scandals ago, it seems like, we mentioned the idea that there's nothing worse to the human psyche and a fan psyche than the unknown. It is actually great fodder for sports talk radio, though, however.
Well, yeah.
But right now, we don't really know everything that's going on. So what answers do you think we're going to get from at least U of L's side, or are they going to come from FSU first? Drew Diener brings up the point that typically where the destination that the party is going breaks the news initially, and then the former stomping grounds have to then set out a press release. What do you think is going to be answered? What do you think is going to be gleaned in the coming weeks, and in what time frame do you think we're going to hear some stuff?
I don't know. No, that's not the answer.
Sometimes it's fine to say that, though.
Fair enough.
Everyone's speculating.
That is, and you're right. You know, the only winners in this scenario are us, and we are the winners. I mean, it's great for our business. It's great for page views and stuff. I get to the point where I don't want to do, like, TV reports that say nothing or do, you know, write stories for the web that say nothing, even though people want to read them. Because, you know, and you don't want to, you can't just go out and say everything that a source tells you, because your source may think they're right, but they may not know either. So time frame, I don't think it can go much longer, because, you know, if Florida State's going to move on, they're going to move on. And if Tyree doesn't get an answer from them soon, he's either got to come back and figure out a way to do that, a strategy for remaining athletic director, because that's going to be required now if he does, or he's just got to move on from the job altogether, whether he's got another job lined up or not, which is not a problem for him. But, you know, it's already, in my mind, I'm still expecting him to go to Florida State. I think that this has gone on already too long to repair. You know, in the mind tier of Louisville fans, I would think that. I think there might have been a time when he would have been willing to negotiate an extension. I don't know that he found a receptive, you know, school for that at Louisville. I don't know if they're ready to do that. So I would think, you know, if it's not resolved today, I'd be shocked if it wasn't resolved tomorrow, one way or the other.
Eric Crawford, WDRB. I guess the sources that are out there are indicating that potentially Josh Hurd could be in the running as interim tag, and then potentially a national search. Is that kind of where we are if Vince leaves?
that's where we were. I don't think we're there anymore. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be him. She has a history of going a little off script with some of these things. It might be somebody who's not even involved in athletics right now. I don't know. But I haven't, you know, Josh wasn't, I don't think, a part of the meeting this morning, and I would have thought he would be if they were putting together contingencies. I would think he would be somebody they would want in the loop. So I don't know how that works, but I don't think we can even say that at this point. But yes, that's one thing I have been told, regardless of who has the interim job, there will be a national search for this position.
Eric, Parent Johnson here. Good afternoon, brother. Got a question for you. I saw some stuff on Twitter last night that Neely, if Vince wanted to go to Florida State, Neely would waive the non-compete. Is that true?
That's what I've been told, that Neely, both Neely and the chairman of the Board of Trustees at U of L has said they would not enforce that non-compete if he wanted to go. So that will tell him something, too. Now, they may want something in return from that. They may want some kind of compensation, some kind of buyout, whatever, to do that. And that, frankly, could be some of the discussions that have gone about last night and this morning. So I don't know that for sure, but that could certainly be one of the things they were talking about.
I feel like we're almost talking about the NBA when you're giving draft picks and cash compensation right now, because I know Louisville, because I don't feel like firing Satterfield makes sense from a financial standpoint. But if we're talking money, what type of buyout, if they were going to give us some type of money, or would it be money in a return, or what type of return do you think we would get if there was some type of compensation for that?
That would be pretty awesome if you get a couple, like, defensive linemen or something.
A quarterback,
future
quarterback
draft,
too.
Yeah, future draft
a quarterback
picks, yeah,
too.
That's not going to happen. I think it would have to do with, you know, whatever money they were going to pay Vince over the next 2 years, wanting it, you know, in general. It would be, and I'm not sure what the contract wording is on this, but he would be responsible for paying them a portion of that to leave, to get out of his contract early. That might be money that Florida State has to pay, whatever. That's usually how it works, the school where you're going. For instance, when Louisville hired Chris Mack, you know, they had to pay $4.5 million to Xavier to buy him out of that contract, and it was Louisville that paid that money. You know, and it just, we don't see many buyouts with athletic directors, but they might ask for some money just because they're giving up something on the non-compete.
I mean, down the road, I guess this narrative's been created, right, wrong, or indifferent, that the fans are concerned about. You heard Oklahoma's new coach, Brent Venables, about alignment, everybody being on the same page, the president, the athletic director, the board of trustees. I think the biggest concern, at least people that are calling into our show, is that they're not on the same page. I mean, what does this say about a future athletic director potentially coming here if the narrative that's been created is Vince cannot do his job, right, wrong, or indifferent? How do you get the next up-and-coming athletic director to say, I'm going to give Louisville a shot?
Well, they're going to have to be on the president's page. I don't think it's up to the president to jump on to the athletic director's page.
Fair.
And here's the difference. From an athletic standpoint, you look at Satterfield and you're like, all right, three seasons, no real excitement. You know, it could be, it's going to, you know, season ticket sales for next year are not going to be huge. You know, everybody's going to still in a wait and see, and most of them are pessimistic, if not downright angry, wait and see mode. From her standpoint, the coach took over a program that was was crashed into the mountain. He's going to a second bowl in 3 years. The academics are good. They had 1 year that was COVID, and he can't really, you know, he was playing games with half dozen defensive starters missing. So that made it difficult. So I think that overall, there's just a different view of it from an overall employee, university employee standpoint versus the fan, look at this coach standpoint. And that makes it difficult. So I think whoever comes in has to just accept that the university is going to exercise some oversight more than it has in the past because of a lot of stuff that's going on.
He is Eric Crawford of WDRB. Eric, one last parting shot for me. Just We were talking about earlier in the show, and I think earlier in the interview, of who to blame, who to point the fingers at. You just mentioned that there's going to be a bit of tighter control, and I feel like that that always goes back to the NCAA. The impact of, again, the NCAA just letting a school twist in the wind and the can being kicked down the road. Do you think is it crazy to think, because now we're starting to see that impact being like infiltrating and infecting every potential hiring, every potential move, both with the brass as well as coaching. Do you think maybe Louisville's example could could maybe play into the pending punishment by the NCAA, maybe alleviate it a little bit just based on the time frame? And do you think that might impact rulings in the future?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really... This whole situation with Louisville, I think not only has it dragged on far too long, and it was, you know, aggravated by the FBI being involved, the NCAA having to take a hands off for, you know, a year or two, whatever. But, you know, this latest thing from the NCAA where they lump in these Chris Mack, you know, violations with all the other violations. If I were a Louisville attorney, I'd be all over that, and I'd be like, these got to be separate. We want a whole separate hearing. This has nothing to do with that. It's a whole different cast of characters. You can't, you know, add that on. We want a separate, these are minor violations by a different cast of characters. Don't add this to all this junk that you still haven't adjudicated. But I don't know that that's going to be the case. I'm not even sure who's making that call. And all of these things are a concern, but I don't think Louisville's going to get off easy. But, you know, when it comes to the NCAA, I mean, it's on its last legs. I don't know how concerned I would be. You might have to miss a basketball postseason, but I don't know how terribly concerned I would be about much else from the NCAA. They know they're going to be punished. To me, if I'm Louisville, I just kind of be aggressive with these most recent allegations and just kind of figure we're just plowing ahead regardless of what the NCAA does, because we know a penalty's coming, but in the long run, how much is it going to impact us? At some point, someday, they're going to rehang that banner because there's going to be some other organization, and this will all be history.
Eric Crawford, WDRB, doing great work over there. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Eric Crawford. Last one for me. You put a tweet out there. You could add it to the Mark Ennis thread about all the things that just happened on the football side of things. Notable university AD battles on U of L recent past. John Shoemaker butting heads with Tom Jurich over budget. Board wanting to suspend Rick Pitino after the affair scandal, and Jurich stopping it. U of L president James Ramsey refusing to let Jurich fire Pitino after LSU interview. When Eric Crawford hangs it up, and I'm sure you will be writing many, many books about all the scandals that have transpired here, where will this end up in the Eric Crawford tell-all book that he puts out there after he retires from WDRB?
I mean, this is nothing compared to that stuff,
right,
if you think about it. I mean, this is just, a little bit of a disagreement over a football coach, maybe, and the Mack suspension's a big deal. Suspending the basketball coach is... That's one of the big news sports stories of the year in the city. A 6-game suspension is huge. So that's a big deal. And that ranks up there with some of the disagreements on that list that you gave me. But, yeah, when after Bobby interviewed with LSU, you know, of course that came after he had met with Auburn. And Jurich was ticked and wanted to have enough and came back and wanted to fire him after giving him a big extension, you know, in the fall before that. And Ramsey stepping in saying, look, you can't do this. Just you're going to have to swallow it. And Jurich stood up and gave his vote of confidence to Bobby, but said he's going to have to mend the fences with fans himself. And that to me was a big one. And, you know, they came in and asked Rick Pitino to take a suspension. And before Pitino could even talk, Jurich jumped in and said, he's not going to take a suspension. He's not sitting for a game. If you try and sit him, I'm going to quit. And he didn't. And, you know, Jurich kind of threw his body in front of that shot and didn't let it happen. So this is not unusual. And it happens elsewhere, too, just not with the degree of drama that we're seeing here at Louisville and have seen in some of these past things.
Eric Crawford, WDRB, and that was 7 or 8 scandals ago in one rehab project from Bobby Petrino, and he got his job back here. So funny how the world works, but that is college athletics in a nutshell. Eric Crawford, great work. Check him out, WDRB.com. I'm sure we will be calling on you probably next week or so, and maybe some news on there. Give him a follow on Twitter, a good follow with all the late breaking news that are happening with Board of Trustees and all this stuff with athletic directors and presidents, which I contend in other cities, you do not know their names. You do not know what their faces look like, but that is
or
not
their family.
Or their family, but that is not Louisville, Kentucky.
Or where they live for that matter.
No kidding. Eric Crawford,
I'll probably talk to you in about 10 minutes. So.
I know, Eric, your phone is on the charger all day. There's no way in hell it's not.
Have not been above 20%, since last week.
Attaboy. Eric, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Eric Crawford, WDRB. Great stuff over there. Check him out, WDRB.com. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Eric Crawford.
Big fan of Smush.
So him saying that, one thing that stands out to me is this, because this goes back to ignoring the outside noise. Because I've heard this side from these people, I've heard that side from these people. And he basically put it out there and put it in front of us. It's not financially responsible to fire Scott Satterfield. That's what I took from that.
But it might not be mutually exclusive in the idea that the money is there.
See, because that's a narrative that's been out there, right? I'm with you. People have said that, right?
But like 8.3 is nothing to sneeze at, which is what we've been told.
When you just
is,
bought out Bobby Petrino for $15 million, there's this narrative. And I don't know. This is me asking you guys, because I don't know if either of you know. There's this narrative that there's not the money there, which you saw in Miami. Like we just talked about that. You get a big money booster. You get somebody from the healthcare system that's paying for that. I don't think they're doing that here, but that's...
You don't have that here.
You have the UofL Health that is just partnered up with it, but I don't think they're doing what they're doing down at Miami, and I love those folks over there. But
I think based on our history here, they don't want that interaction to be together.
Oh, yeah. It's
from
you,
the Dr.
You don't
Ramsey,
see that. Oh,
from the
100%.
Dr. Ramsey stuff on down. And I don't think they want that intermingling with the financial numbers based on past history. But what I will say is that we don't have those resources that they have, being the one guy that you did have. They could probably pull off some stuff and make something shake. They took his pizza company. Maybe you can get, UPS is a corporation. You're not going to have that. You know, every great institution has that one great, ridiculously rich booster. You know, obviously everybody knows who Pickens is down at Oklahoma State, right? You know, and so and every school has their
U.S. Cuban, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say they're this, but there are donors that have been donors in the past that are very engaged on social media, but that maybe are on soccer stadiums and other ones that is the opposite of red.
Yes.
So that's with this last name.
Very disengaged as of the moment.
Right. And that's true. And that was a little nugget that he put in there. It was unforeseen. Like everybody thought like Josh Hurd was going to be like the interim AD should this transpire.
He was literally the only name I've heard.
Eric just said, and I think, I don't want to misquote him, that's something that it seemed like a lock-in, but now maybe not so much, which I think would be interesting with this national search that would probably, and is the right thing to do when you're looking for a new athletic director and you just don't want to hire in-house. But I think, by all accounts, Josh Hurd, I don't know him from Adam, but like seems qualified, left the nest, went to Villanova for the new national championships.
And then was brought back because they felt like he was going to be something special in terms of grooming him to be what he is.
A succession plan. So that's interesting. Eric doesn't think that's necessarily a lock right now, and he has sources that are there too. So
he said what? That they might go with someone with more of an education background? Was that who he said?
Maybe just do like a national search potentially. Seems like she may go outside the box with Neely Bindapudi. So
I'll just say this. I don't understand how, after all this fracture, I don't understand how Vince comes back.
It seems like it's past the point of no return, and I don't know necessarily how you, if he gets an extension out of this, what the environment would be long term with that to a solution.
And Neely saying she's willing to waive you going to Florida State says more too to me as well.
Yeah, that part I feel that's the biggest nail in the coffin.
Let me pack your bags for you and gas up your car.
It's like a breakup and they're like, I'll drive you to the airport.
But I also
hold the door open for you.
100%,
just get out.
100%. But I also feel like just as much as Vince understands his value and knows he can go elsewhere, I don't necessarily feel like Vince wants to go elsewhere, because if he wanted to, he would have been. He took the job. Brian Kelly was on the verge of, was on the cusp of the playoffs, and said, "Hey,
it was like a 58% chance for him to still make it."
Yeah,
like,
and that was insane. And he was like, "I'm out." So
I've been practicing this Cajun accent. I gotta work it.
Lincoln Riley said, "I'm out." Like, so when guys are ready to go, they go. I don't feel like Vince wants to go, but I feel like Vince feels like he has no choice and he can't be what he wants to be. Because, and then Neely's like, and because that relationship is fractured, Neely's like, "Oh, hey, listen, we'll waive the buyout." Like that is
much to the chagrin of Mark Blankenbaker, who wants that. He wants to get something. He wants cash consideration plus a draft pick.
But now,
it seems like.
So now here's, and then this, what's crazy about this to me though is this: if you go hire a new AD, does that guy want to bring in a guy? Because if I'm an athletic director, and let's say I
great
hire
question,
let's say I'm a new, because let's say I'm the guy that they're going to hire, and you, hey, Perrin, we love you, we want to bring you in and be the AD. Okay, I'm only coming here if I can bring my guy in. If I can't bring my guy in, then I'm not coming here.
Nick and Phil, the coaches of the football team.
Yeah, I think
you can be it, coach. I'll be the.
Wouldn't you want to?
I'll be a get back coach.
Because I'll give you an example. When you're a new basketball coach, you have no allegiance to the kids that are on the roster, unless you retained another assistant. But let's say you did like Chris Mack and you cleaned out the whole coaching staff, right?
Right.
He had no allegiance to VJ King. So when VJ wasn't playing well, what did he do? He sat him. Right. And then he over-recruited him, and he brought in a guy at his position in Samuel Williamson, who's kind of playing like VJ. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. So when you – same thing with presidents. Neely was brought in after Vince Tyree was already hired, after Chris Mack was already hired.
Great point.
After Scott Satterfield was already hired. She has no allegiance to none of this. So she can do whatever she wants to choose, because at the end of the day, look at her scenario. She came into Louisville. It was basically burning. Mm. The president was accused of embezzling funds. The athletic director and him were working together, and they might feel like he's a part of it, but it wasn't really true. Then you have another thing where you have essentially what? Rick Pitino. You have Karen Cypher, you have FBI, you have
three
Katina
major
Powell.
Scandals. Three major scandals,
like,
in about.
She's coming in to rebuild an image of a whole city and a whole institution.
And that's what I go back to with, if this alleged of letting Scott Satterfield go, maybe, just maybe, he ain't a slime ball like Bobby Petrino was. By all accounts, Bobby Petrino 2.0 was fine. But obviously they bought him out because, yeah, exactly. Until he didn't know, the players didn't know where his coach's office was, and then they used that against him. Now Satterfield's too nice of a guy. But
no, and it's funny you say that, Phil, because you know what's fascinating about that? When Bobby Petrino's father passed away, one of the things he said at a press conference was,
100% agree.
They asked him this. They said, "Hey, when you," because I don't blame Bobby Petrino for having a bad year. I honestly feel like Bobby Petrino checked out that his father died, and he was grieving. Because people grieve differently.
That grace isn't given to Satterfield in the Kentucky game. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating to me that people, when Bobby's dad died, nobody cared. And when Scott Satterfield's dad died, everybody was like, "Oh, that guy needs another year." Some people, not everybody, some people said that.
A portion, yeah.
A portion of people said that. And that is about character and how you are. And people didn't care about Bobby's character as much as they...
Just win, baby.
They cared about Satterfield's character.
And so the moment he didn't...
Yeah, just like Ed Orgeron, you know. "Hey, you want to go on a date? I'm pregnant. What's that got to do with anything?" You know, same
sneaky
premise.
Sneaky great story from The Athletic that I know is behind a paywall. I had to send a screenshot. Sorry, Athletic, and all the folks that we have on from there. I usually don't screen record that or take screenshots because I know it's behind a paywall, but I did have to send that one to Diener because that Ed Orgeron.
We're all customers.
Yes, we are there. Yeah, they just charged me for that $71 for the annual because they got me on the first year for $1
freaking
a month.
Terrible at retaining. Sorry, I'm going to take a quick shot. No, do better. Athletic.
Oh, like, no, I just had this discussion with Blankenbaker.
Fantastic coverage. And this is not a shot at the writers, that a lot of which we have on. Fantastic work. But you do a great job getting new customers. You do a terrible job
of retaining. I agree. And you know, if you put a link on Twitter, redirect it to the app. I'm not trying to go log out, put it on there, and that's my whole shebang about that.
So
267-9680 is the phone number. The take coming up in about 10 minutes or so. UPS Jobs text line 437-9680. Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano, Phil Baker in for the V Show. Let's get to a couple texts. Vince made a power play. The era of the boss AD is over. I think there's some truth to that. All UofL needs is a maintenance and compliance AD at $250,000 to $300,000 per year. Jurich built it. Vince shorned it up during a difficult time. Big Boss AD is not going to be tolerated by Neely or Board of Trustees. I think there's some truth to that. And I think to Perrin's point, talking about bringing in their own person, like Eric just alluded to, it's got to be the president's, like, you need to be on the same page as the president. It's like, you're not coming here with your vision and everything. And that's what I think is concerning for a lot of fans out there, that alignment that Brent Venables talked about in his press conference of being on the same page with the president, athletic director. It took him, why didn't you think he left Clemson for a decade
plus?
It took
him forever.
Because he was waiting for the right situation. And I think people latch on to that as a concern of why they're nervous that, what's this mean moving forward if we can't give an athletic director in here to do his or her job? That's where fans are latching on to.
How did it get to this point, though? Because that was the one thing. Because
they were trained
started,
with Jurich for so long.
Yeah, but when this first started, it was such a breath of fresh air that it seemed like everyone was on the same page.
To a degree, because change is hard, and nobody likes it. But to Phil's point, you know, do you guys remember when Herb Street was on Game Day and he talked about how Miami was so unaligned?
Talked about it with Andrew Adelson. That was the reason that sparked this.
Yeah, so he talked about how the president's this way, the athletic director's this way, and the football coach is this way. You're never going to win or have success when those things are not aligning. So that's until all those people line, until Neely Bindapudi, Vince Tyree, and Chris Mack, and Scott Satterfield are all rowing their boat in the same direction, you're going to have what you have right now.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be the circumstances. I don't see that correcting itself. When you have everybody in your boat rowing upstream, you will get where you need to go upstream. But right now, everybody's rowing their boat in three different directions. And that's why I feel like we're going to be here. And then I just think this is the beginning of everything that's going to transpire here. Because if you're Vince Tyree and you elect to stay, and you feel like you're not being able to do your job to a certain degree, what's going to happen if Chris Mack gets hit with level 2 violations here in a couple months?
Oh, I think Eric Crawford laid it out there. I think Eric Crawford alluded to as much and said that's something that could potentially be held against him. And I think it's pretty apparent that Neely wanted to do more, and that started as a rumor. There was never a report necessarily out there. It started as a rumor. I think more credible journalists have leaned into it, basically saying there was a disconnect because it seemed like she wanted to fire Mac for that. I don't think anyone's ever put their name on it, but that's what's been created with the narrative. And Vince fought against that, and they settled on a 6-game suspension. And Vince, if you watch the Michigan State game, he was being the one that was taking all the bullets for that when, by all accounts, it seemed like it was a Neely decision. Yeah. So that's something that's been out there.
And coming off that 6-game suspension, I think Chris Mack still needs a whole nother month to figure out what he still has. Because I feel like he still doesn't know what he has, even though he recruited these guys and he's watched them practice to a degree. You don't know what you got till you got on the floor.
Yeah.
Same thing with football. You don't know what you got till you actually have it tangibly on the field. So,
and I think that's something that you'll see. You got a little time to practice. We got you covered for the Louisville-DePaul post game coming up on Friday. I believe Steve Rummich will be on there around 10 o'clock or so for the Coors Light post game show on all ESPN Louisville stations. So
I wonder if Steve is going to be doing the post game show for DePaul and he's going to get more questions about football or more questions about basketball.
Well, I'm sure Steve, our boy, will shoehorn that in, because if you listen to Middays with Marcus Maven, he is getting pretty vocal about that. Let me get a couple more texts before we get you out of here. Andy Sweeney in the Take with James Strebel. I'm sure they will
Sorry,
be worked
boys.
Up.
I've been running all over trying to get this Blue Chew spot recorded, and I'm not having any luck. Blue Chew's back, baby.
Blue Chew's back?
Blue Chew's back.
It's the gum, right?
These texters.
It's a chewable tablet.
A chewable tablet.
These texters, and Drew's talked about this as much, too. Tom Jurich is not coming back. Drew says he has some reputable, like, very intelligent, like, business. They have very vocal and smart business leaders that, like, want this to happen. It ain't happening. If you think Neely's coming to odds with Vince, her and Jurich, you just heard what Crawford talked about, feuded about that. It ain't happening.
And Rick Pitino's not coming back either. Let's go ahead and put
that. Yeah, the money might be available.
Louisville offer Rick Pitino $10 million a year. He still tells them to bleep off. He's not coming back.
Well, fun show. Bobby V on the call tonight. Jimmy V Classic, Tennessee, Texas Tech, 8 o'clock, 93.9 The Ville, followed by Syracuse and Villanova. Appreciate you having us, Nikki V. Perrin, appreciate you
thank
joining
you guys.
Us.
No problem.
The Take with Andy Sweeney and James Strebel. Well, they're going to be at it tomorrow. It's going to be lit, as the kids say. So, happy birthday to Nicki Minaj, by the way. She's 38. I'm legit. Like wow. That song.
Doesn't you know look a day past 30.
You know who else is legit? The Take.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.